welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott revisit an old friend as they drink Bodegas Brica, their old vine Grenache from Spain. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, Rob. You know, it's good to revisit an old friend.
That's true.
It's too bad that Superstar won't revisit us. Where is he?
I saw him not too long ago.
Yeah?
It wasn't that exciting. He was drunk, which is not surprising.
What?
He hasn't grown either.
No?
No, he was extremely drunk and loud.
Extremely drunk.
And he's probably going to get thrown out of his community that he's in now. His HOA violated many rules. Yeah, he's very loud and obnoxious.
He's in a forest.
He is in a forest. There are bears.
See, he could hide.
He
could hide. He could pretend he's a gnome.
just stand in the garden. And they
just
won't
stand still.
He didn't even need the hat, you know.
Well.
He might be able to hide in a bush and no one would see
him. It would help.
Yeah, you know. I've done that before. Wait a minute. Yes, that's what I meant. Both. I meant it dirty-like, and I meant it actually in a bush, but they both were interconnected to one another, I guess, because they didn't see me. Well, that's okay. It's not important. Wilfred Wong, folks. Thank you.
Wilfred Wong.
That's right. Yes. I'm a wine enthusiast.
Oh, Jesus.
And expert, too. I know many things about the wine industry and drinking wine and an empty wine bottles that are broken in the street when I'm trying to sleep. It pisses me off. So don't litter, folks.
You're a poor soul.
What was I going to say? Oh, yes, and Duke's mayonnaise.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a great mayonnaise, folks, and you shouldn't have sex with it. Yes, you shouldn't do that. Yes, I've been told by Duke's. They said they were lawyers, but they had brass knuckles and they beat me with bicycle chains and told me to shut the fuck up. I don't think that's professional. I don't think they were lawyers. No.
Well,
it said Hell's Angels on the back of their jacket. I think they hired a biker gang to kick my ass. Duke's mayonnaise. They said, don't fuck with us. They're bad sons of bitches. I think one of the guys that kicked my ass was named Duke, in fact. So, you know.
Maybe they're just dispute specialists, and that's their area of law that they practice.
With a bicycle chain?
Well,
it hurts
Scott. They're specialists.
And they even had it, like, they used, it's not even like they took it off a bicycle. They had this modified for beating people. They're professionals.
Hey, and they practiced on you.
They perfected it before they got to me. That's just what I'm going to say.
Well.
I fought back, too. I can fight.
You can.
I can, yes.
You can fight back.
I can't fight back. I have a whistle.
A whistle?
A whistle, yes.
Just whistle while you get worked.
It's true. I was blowing that whistle, and people were running the other way. Some people pointed and laughed.
I can't imagine why.
Why'd they take my pants? That was not funny.
Were you wearing pants?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's unusual for you.
I know it was. Now I don't have any pants. That was my only pair. It's very sad.
So that's why you're not wearing pants right now.
Yeah, they threw them in the dumpster, but I didn't want to climb up in there without any pants on. I could have gotten a splinter.
A splinter?
Yes, yes.
A splinter.
They were crates.
You're worried about getting a splinter.
Yes, maybe.
From a dumpster.
Yes, maybe gonorrhea too.
Of all the things to worry about in a dumpster, I'm not sure that splinters.
When was the last time you were in a dumpster, Scott?
I generally avoid
them. If you meet Duke, he can help you out with that. So.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, well. Anyway, folks, on tonight's show, we are revisiting a wine we did several seasons ago and truly did think was amazing. Often that happens with wine. We'll drink it and really think it's amazing, and sometimes we'll think it's shit.
We're usually wrong, but...
That's true. This wine, though, and I think this aired, but it is Bodegas Brica. It's from Spain, actually. It's Canalude. Is that what it is? Calatelud.
Okay.
I have drank many wines from Calatelud, but I've never really tried to pronounce it out loud. I should have probably tried and practiced before we did it on the show, so you'd think I was smart. But I'm not.
They know better.
This wine is an old vine Grenache. Now, old vine, yeah, years planted was between 1925 and 1990. So take the 1990 out of there, but it is old. And this is a wine that has good pedigree in a value price. It's under $20. Now they've brought out something that was $13 too from Breca, but it's not old vines. But this thing, I'm not going to tell you this. This is the 18 vintage. The 19's current, but you can still find the 18. I'm going to tell you about the 17. It got a 91 from the Spectator. The 16 got a 94 from Jeb. The 15 got a 92 from the Spectator. And I believe the vintage we had was the 15.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. And I've had it one other time since then, but I think it was twice the 15 I had. It's really a special, delicious big wine. Will this vintage be the same? I don't know. I think it might be a little bit lesser than the others, but it's still going to be pretty good.
Well, but it goes back over time. I mean, 2010, 94, 2012, 95, 96. Now, it's whatever the Pennon guide is. I don't know what the Pennon guide is.
I think
that's
a different wine, probably.
Yeah. No. This is the Breca Grenache. Mm-hmm. Robert Parker's Advocate, 94 in the 2010 vintage.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Tanzer's International Wine Cellar, 91.
Oh, well, Stephen Tanzer. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know. He used to be my physician.
Now, so you know, folks, this is 18 months on French oak. That was the aging for this. 500 to 600 liter barrels, respectively. So, 100% Grenache, French oak. Do the math there. What are you expecting? You're expecting something that takes more of a Rhone-esque quality to it. I've heard it referenced, okay? Now, you can laugh at this, but someone would compete nicely in a blind lineup of Chateauneuf du Pape. That someone wrote that, a wine expert.
I didn't write that. Don't know. I didn't do it.
But someone did, and you're going to find out who that is as soon as we get back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the Bodegas Breca. I'm going to read. This wine does have some reviews, by the way.
Nice.
Yes, it does. I'm Wilfred Wong, of course. Oh, and I did, in fact, review this wine. There's only like 5 wines I drank last year, and this is one of those. Anyway, I wrote commentary. They put my diary in this damn... I hope they didn't talk about that hobo I killed. No, good God, no, they didn't. Thank them. Anyway, commentary. The 2018 Breca Grenache. Oh, I love the rhyme there. It's formidable and impressive, just like Duke. It's formidable and impressive, folks. Anyway, tasting notes. This wine shows up with aromas and flavors of bold and dense red and black fruits and stays long into the wine's finish. Enjoy it with grilled lamb kebabs. See, I have completely generic, you know, reviews, and then I just say, grilled something. You know, it's it's like, you know, Mulligan Stew or Mad Libs. I throw things in a bag and I pull them out and I'm like, oh. Grilled. What's it going to be? Bologna. Oh, well, that's going to be awkward. I still work that in. That's Oliver Wines normally is grilled bologna. But thank you. Okay, 92 of my points, by the way. Yeah.
And this is a Southern man. I'm going to review a wine by a man that might be Southern, but he worked for NASA. So
oh, you work for NASA?
Jeb Dunnock. I'm understanding he has very nice hair. Yes, he's a very well-known wine reviewer. Jeb Dunnock gave it 92 of his points, and he wrote, "The 18 Brekka is a richer, more concentrated, yet still balanced Grenache with lots to love." I got lots to love, too, yeah. "Blackberries, licorice, roasted herbs, and hints of mulled cherries all emerge on the nose, and it's medium to full-bodied with great mid-palate, present tannins, and a terrific finish. It would compete nicely in a blind lineup of Chateauneuf du Pape." That was written by Jeb Dunnock.
And thank you. This is James Suckley, and I did not review this wine. But my old employer that fired me under political circumstances, Wine Spectator, did. And they provided it, and I'm surprised Wine.com put this review on their website. 89 of their points. Huh. And they wrote, "This lively red," and they like the word lively. Many people that meet Wilford are not lively for very long, if you understand what I mean.
That's correct. I kill them. Yes.
Anyway, "This lively red offers juicy blackberry, black raspberry, and pomegranate fruit flavors set in a round, balanced, and medium-bodied frame. Hints of herb, toast, vanilla, and smoke accent the fruit profile and show on the lightly chewy finish. A crowd pleaser. Drink now. Right now." Yes.
So, 292s and an 89.
Well... Mm-hmm. 89. It's been a while since we've done a wine on the show that's reviewed that low.
Well, from the Spectator, they just don't normally put them on the website. Right. 89 from Spectator isn't bad.
No,
but, you know.
And 89 is a perfectly fine score.
Well, 89 from Spectator 20 years ago wasn't bad. I don't know about today.
It's just...
Their wad of cash got there a little bit late before press time.
Scores are inflated. The only place you can get true scoring is on the wine vault.
That's true. That's true. So let's get to that. In the glass, it's dark. Fairly dense. No real translucence.
Rob has broken out the appropriate glassware.
Old World Riedel Syrah glasses.
So these are tulip-shaped to some degree. Mm-hmm. Very a narrower opening to the glass. Maybe... 50% of the width of the glass?
Mm-hmm. These are, actually, Riedel did, I don't know if they still do make, but they did make Chateauneuf du Pape glasses, but I haven't seen them in that very long. This is like that. This is a cross between that and the Tempranillo. This works well. These glasses work well with Tempranillo. They work well with Grenache. They work well with Syrah, but mostly Old World style. We have New World Syrah glasses for American Washington Syrah. So, on the nose,
it is a beauty in a glass. Mm-hmm. Dark, rich looking.
Strong notes of raisin / prune on the nose.
Slow developing legs.
Mm-hmm. 15% alcohol. Raisin, blackberry jam.
There's a floral element in there with that raisin, bro.
Yes, there is. I can see on the nose that Chateauneuf sometimes have an overripe nose like that, especially young.
I wouldn't think this is a Chateauneuf nose, though.
Well, it's a little too jammy, but there are some a shitty Chateauneuf, you know. Trader Joe's Chateauneuf.
Easy.
I'm just saying. Well, although the Kirkland Signature Chateauneuf, folks, we have that in the wine vault. We've had it. It smells like this. We haven't done it on the show. We might do it on the show, though.
And there's almost like the way it all comes together reminds me of hazelnut.
There's a little bit of a cherry cordial element, too. No, I'd give you a little bit of the...
I just think it's the jamminess that lends itself to think of something sweet, you might pull it out of there.
Yeah, some people might say licorice. Yeah. I smell a little pomegranate back there, too.
Licorice with the raisin, absolutely.
Yep. It's a drippy nose.
Let's go away.
Yep.
That's Grenache.
That is Grenache.
It's just a traditional textbook perfect presentation of Grenache.
It is a very, very vibrant, big wine. Bright, spicy. The spiciness on the finish is what's surprising to me. Maybe that's coming from a little bit of the oak. Grenache normally doesn't give out that kind of spice. Almost a cayenne, right on the tip of the tongue. It's very nice. It is, and I can remember back, the 15. We'll go to the 15. The 15 was a grander wine than this. It just was. Bigger wine. The mid-palate there was filled out. This mid-palate isn't quite as expansive. It's, I wouldn't call it hollow, but it's a little bit underdeveloped, even though I think that this wine, ageability-wise, yeah, drink now. I'd say drink within the next 5 years, but although it might get a little bit candied and kind of stewy if you let it go too long. Don't you think?
I don't know. I'm thinking about what you said about the mid palate and trying to reflect back on the Brekka, because we were buying Brekka. I did buy a case of it.
What I remember about
I had a couple bottles here and there.
I remember Brekka, the 15. You would drink it, and then the mid palate would just, it was like a elevator that just let loose, and you'd go down to this other layer of flavor that just exploded, and the mid palate would explode on a different level. It was an unusual wine that had pockets of flavor that were huge, pockets of everything that would just kind of, you know, that would just kind of come out of nowhere, that were so expansive and beautiful. This wine doesn't quite do that.
No. But it's fine. It's very Grenache-y. The mid palate for me, it's fine. I like the kind of transitions to the finish, and there's where the fruit kind of dissipates, and I like that. There's a little almost earthy, like a tobacco leaf or something going on there.
There absolutely is.
And that's perfect, right? That's perfection.
I want a little more of that. I want it to kind of embrace that and really do something a little more with that, but definitely does have a portion of that. But you'd expect that. You should expect that.
It's not... You know, just on that pull, that's my third pull. Definitely, you know, quaffing, pulling some air over it. I got a streak of pencil lead through the finish, Rob Dern.
If I were blind tasting this, Scott, you know what I would think it is? Dean Sorrell.
Because of that. And I didn't get that the first two pulls.
I'm not going to say Chateauneuf, but, well, I mean, you know, if you're done.
I think that's perhaps those two characteristics of what he's talking about.
Could be.
On the nose, I wouldn't, but. In the glass?
I don't know. You know, Grenache often doesn't show like this because more often than not, your basic Grenaches aren't as expansive as this wine. This is a different wine. You can taste the age of the vines in this wine. I mean, it comes across as a very ripe wine, but it maintains that. When you smell it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be some sort of drippy, overripe, you know, jammy kind of But on the palate, it stays a little bit lighter and it stays in control of all that. You know, that it so easily could go, like the Ancianos we had a long time ago. I always come back to those things. Had some of the similar flavors, but they were not clean.
No.
They showed the alcohol. They were drippy. They were a hangover the day before you even drank it. This is not that.
Also, you know, Grenache has this little, like, It's like a yeasty thing that's associated with Grenache for me. That's my depiction of it, and it sounds off-putting, but there's just a little hint of like a yeastiness. The Asiana was laden with that. It was like this yeasty thing. This has just that kiss. You know it's Grenache because of that.
I know what you're talking about.
That little element.
Yeah, I never really equate that to that because I think that's oak.
I think it comes from the oak,
French oak,
but it's always present in Grenache.
Yeah,
it more so than it out in the Grenache.
Yeah,
let's go blow by blow with this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start with that streak of pencil lead through the finish.
Well, on the front palate, it's black currant, a little bit of tar, prune, and stewed blackberry.
You're not playing the game right. You're supposed to pick out one thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm more advanced than you. Go ahead. You're
just self-serving and it can, you know, one thing at a time.
I think there's plenty here to actually piggyback on.
That tar, for me, it's a little more tobacco. I don't know.
That's in the front palate. The tobacco comes through in the mid.
Yeah. There's just a hint in the fruit of strawberry. Just a touch.
Strawberry.
When the fruit's gone, there's just this little kiss of strawberry.
You could have just said tobacco, so you wouldn't be making up things.
But. Well, listen. My palate's clear. Yours is laden with guilt and shortcomings, and it influences you disproportionately in your ability to taste subtleties like the strawberry that's in this wine. It's unfortunate for you.
You know what? Without the sweetness, but strawberry pie filling, I see that. An off-kilter. I mean, if you taste it, you're like, ugh. But because it has that same, almost like a glycerin quality to it. It's more the feeling with a little bit of the residual fruit that's kind of bleeding through the oak. And it has a kind of a glycerin kind of move to it through the mid palate.
It's interesting. There's been elements of this wine that you've tasted that I've tasted. And then, I see that. At first I got pepper, but I didn't quite get full on the cayenne. I just got that.
Yeah.
This is an interesting drink.
Well, it starts white pepper into then the cayenne.
It just finishes off that way.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about this finish? I'm surprised by the oaking of it. It's so soft and subtle. I expect it to be more present. It's giving things off like the peppery finish, but it's just not this oaky finish.
I think that they kind of lean back a little bit maybe on this vintage because perhaps the grape stock wasn't as great as some of the other ones. But I think that the finish rounds it out fairly nicely. I don't think that the oak is too, you know, I think the oak is causing a little bit of that spiciness, which is great. And then the oak then is there to frame the rest.
Yeah.
So you have just that little bit of, well, you call it yeasty, but I always think of it as like an oak planky kind of element that kind of, you know, just a little bit of wood that just kind of keeps it all clean and fresh and nice and doesn't let it get flabby. Because this wine isn't overly acidic. You know, it's not massively tannic.
It really isn't.
I mean, there are tannins there, but it's not really a feature element of the wine.
One of the reviews described it like this was going to be more of a tannin bomb, and it's just not. It's just not the most tannic thing in the world.
No, and I would be surprised if this Grenache was.
Not to say the Grenaches can't be tannic, but that's not the first thing that's listed on the list when you're drinking it.
Yeah, James called it chalky tannins, and I don't see that.
The chalk would be from the soil.
Yeah, the Venice Review referred to it as polished tannins. I can go with that. You know they're there. It's just on the. This is a tannin bomb versus there's no tannins present. It's more towards the lighter side of the tannic presence.
Oh, yeah. On a 1 to 10, I would give this a 3 or 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. This is perfect for the meat and cheese we've got going here, folks.
Mm-hmm. It's more, and this wine is more of a complexity wine than it is a size wine. Mouthfeel also is pretty good, too.
I love the mouthfeel.
This is what I'm going to say, and Scott's going to say something, though, dumb, but this is not for everybody. Not everybody would enjoy this, though.
Well,
they wouldn't. I mean, there's just no way.
I just think for most people, Grenache is a more challenging wine, even for folks who really enjoy red wines. I think it takes some time to get to Grenache and going, oh, I like Grenache.
If you like wines from Languedoc, you might get down with this a little bit. But, you know, I'm thinking, what's the Cuvée Nicolas? Tessalet, remember that?
Tessalet
is another one. Although Tessalet, isn't that a blend? It has some Grenache.
I think it's bigger Grenache.
Mm-hmm. These are some things that remind me of the Brica. They're all in the same genre. Bastides Malford. These are mostly, though. Where is Tessalet from? Is it from? It's from France, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
I know Bastides Malford is from France, but they're all more Grenache dominated wines. And they all kind of live in the same space. Brica, this vintage might be a little bit lesser than those, but having not had those recently,
Roussillon.
They're all from Roussillon. Okay, so they're all from France, but this wine tastes more French than it does Spanish. You know?
Fair. I mean, once you get past the nose, the nose fair is enough. Not French.
Although Languedoc, I mean, you know, from down there, it can be a little bit like it. That's the thing. There's a lot of French influence in this wine. You can just taste that. You know?
I think the longer you drink this, the more we talk about it, the more we understand what was said about hold this up against a Chateau Neuf du Pape. I don't know that it would absolutely compare, but I get it. I get the reference.
Well, one wine that I've had not too long ago that this does remind me of, this isn't quite as big, but is Chateau Le Neuf their Côte d'Aron.
Okay.
If you had that, I told you to buy it. It's like $27-$28, and it is a massive beast. And it's about 15% alcohol, too. It will make you forget what your name is. And what anyone that you know's name is too.
Yeah, I think I think I did get one or two of those in there. Yeah. I haven't opened them yet.
Okay, yeah,
about six nine months ago.
Yeah, that's about right. That out. I think it was maybe in the early springtime because I remember I was drinking it when I was outside in the garage grilling. So,
What would you grill with this? What would you like to have with this, what would you have that this would complement?
Lamb lollipops. That works.
Bingo, bingo. That's where I was at, lamb, when I said it.
Lamb is one that would definitely go well with this. Brisket would be fine. Short rib would be okay, but it depends on how you're preparing it. It had to be simple. You know, it can't be too saucy. It can't be too this or that. Simple. Salt and pepper brisket, you know, this would be all right with that.
My buddy did a simple shoulder roast pork, small, 2.5 pounds. Yeah. And it was almost square.
Mm-hmm.
Big fat cap.
Yeah.
Didn't brown it. Didn't do anything, but he just seasoned it. He did concertina the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And cooked the fat up.
Yeah.
2 Vidalia onions.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic. He's got a nice, smaller crock pot that held it was, the meat was nearly touching the sides.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, this, that would have been fantastic with
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Roast pork would be all right with this wine too.
That shoulder cut can be tough to get right because you can easily cook that past.
Mm-hmm. You know, pork tacos.
I love pork tacos.
Yeah, I mean, that this would be great with that. What's that? Al pastor?
Yeah.
You know, anything like that. Yeah, that kind of street taco kind of fare. This would be great with that. Really, really great with that. Matter of fact, amazing with that. Something that just has a little bit of a fat content, but isn't too sauced up, isn't too crazy. This would go well with. Really well with it. Greek food?
In general.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I wouldn't do it with steak. Nope. You know?
Well, you haven't really, other than you mentioned brisket. Well, yeah, you did say short ribs, too.
Yeah, but then again, grilled. You know, maybe slow roasted, then grilled off with no sauce, not braised. You know what I mean? Something really, really basic on those. And I don't even know then. It's just more the meat. I think you can do it better with the brisket. But I wouldn't do it with steak. You know. By the way, I want to compliment Meyer in their butchery department. Last night I got two smaller fillets, right?
Okay.
And I did them in the cast iron. And then I just did on the broiler with a little blue cheese. And I would like to commend. See, I never knew you could do surf and turf with just turf. But apparently you can, because Meyer's fillets taste just like salmon. It's delicious. Those fuckers.
Apparently they weren't good.
Oh. How do you make beef taste like fish? They were not discounted. They were a current product. They had the same texture as salmon, which is unusual.
What?
They weren't flaky, but maybe tuna. No.
You had a fillet.
Yes.
And it tasted of salmon.
It tasted of salmon, more texture of tuna. Starkist. Horrible. I took three bites, and I was like, nope, 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 nope. I said, man, is the blue cheese off on this? So I scraped the blue cheese. Nope, that's not what it is. Because the blue cheese ain't the texture, man. That's wrong. That's just wrong. Nope. Wasn't that hungry anyway.
So what did you have for dinner last night?
Not much. Well, I had a hot dog. I boiled some hot dogs for the other kids because I was home. And Eisenberg. You had Eisenberg?
Hot dog? Brand? Yeah. Rings a bell.
Eisenberg is, I was also a Meyer, but they don't. It's not a Meyer product. Those are really fucking good hot dogs, folks. So those are a dinner hot dog, you know? Because William, he didn't have a bun. He just eats it like sausage, and it eats like a really, really tasty sausage. Kind of like trail bologna meat sausage. Oh, Scott. You're just like, is it? Yes. It's hallelujah good. William ate three hot dogs. It's kind of gross. And they're like half pounders.
Listen, man. There is nothing like a good grilled hot dog.
Mm. I boiled this in water, man.
How dare you?
It was raining.
How dare you?
Nah, I don't care. I mean, it is better grilled, mind you, but it's pretty good boiled, too. It was really good. It was really good. I was going to steam it, but I couldn't find a steamer basket, so.
Could have put them on a pan.
Oh, I know I could have. The kids just don't care, man. So.
They were just hungry.
Oh, I know. William ate about 17 pounds of mashed potatoes and three hot dogs. A little gross.
It's what happens when you don't feed your kids all week. They're going to eat you out of house and home that one time you let them eat.
Fair enough. You got to lean them out, man. Gotta lean them out.
Lean them out.
Well, folks, we're gonna take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back. On tonight's Potpourri, Scott, I'm going to ask you a simple question.
Simple?
Yes. You can have, from anywhere, anytime, one bite of food.
Oh.
With one drink of wine. What are those two things?
I'm going to put some pairings out.
No.
No, I'm putting some pairings out.
Oh, God.
I'm putting some pairings out. We recently had a pork belly appetizer on vacation. It was freaking fantastic. It was, first of all, perfectly cooked pork belly, and then it was twice cooked. It's seared in like a Thai peanut style sauce. Freaking amazing. And with that, I would pair premium age Chateauneuf du Pape. Pick it. Which one do you want? I'm not saying go stupid crazy, but just a nice 15 year age Chateauneuf du Pape. Delicious. This pork belly had crisp. It had a saucy flavor, and it wasn't saucy. It was just cooked into the, let's call it crust. And then ooey gooey perfect pork belly. Fantastic. You go, sir.
Mine's going to be very simple. I would like, and I just recently had this kind of, a high quality prime charbroiled New York strip with a demi-glace. I didn't have the demi-glace. I had Bernays, but that's because I had a weird itch. But the demi-glace was...
You chose wrong.
No, I didn't chose wrong. It was a very tasty Bernays. But with that, and then as a wine, with that very simple thing, I would choose... I'm going to be more specific than Scott, because why not? And we don't really have a price range on this, but I'm going to put a price range under 30. I'm going to no, under 35.
Lord, you keep changing the game.
I threw away a lot of stuff, but I was looking over there for some inspiration. Ooh, The Hands of Time. By Stag's Leap.
So good.
That would be a good pairing.
Hands of Time was so good.
That's the bite. But that's the main course. Let's start off with an app. You did an appetizer, though.
Well, kind of, sort of, yeah.
Now, why don't you do a main course, and I'll do an appetizer.
But it's a bite. You're saying a bite.
Well, yeah, but a bite
so
of an appetizer.
So it kind of lends itself to being an appetizer.
No. You're a main course.
I like to take corned beef brisket and brown it and twice cook it. Okay? I like to first braise it in tomatoes, and then I like to twice cook it a second time in cabbage. So it's my spin on the classic corned beef and cabbage. But that bite with a little bit of tomato in the cabbage, and the cabbage cooked till it's drawn and brown and a lump of stuff with a perfect cube of brisket, or excuse me, of corned beef. Salty, fat rendered out of it. I'm going to go with a big California red, but not too much over the top. Our beloved Mount Veeder. I love that.
With corned beef and cabbage?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I think they'll put that on their website.
I don't care.
They'll be very proud.
I don't care. I love that dish. I love making it. I love eating it. And if you treat the corned beef as a whole piece and don't shred it when you cook it the second time, it'll still cube, but it shreds to the fork. You can still cut it if you're very careful in slicing it into cubes, and it would make these little, like, almost like tapas-like bites. Corned beef, you could put it on a cracker. You could put it on a little piece of bread.
Saltine cracker.
You could put it on those little toast points that you get
for
dipping.
Those are lovely.
It would be perfect to fit on there, and just a little touch of the cabbage, one little piece of tomato. Boom, mouth bite.
Don't you think a Napa? Don't you think a Napa cab is a little bit too big for that?
No, I do not.
Well, okay. Now mine's the appetizer. My next is an appetizer, and I'm going to be very, very simple once again. Heirloom tomatoes, sliced.
Nice.
Whole basil, very fresh, and just a little bit of a high, high, high quality olive oil. No balsamic, nothing like that.
Oh, bad choice.
No, I don't want any balsamic. I don't want it to be too sweet.
Well, then don't.
You can understand why.
Okay, I'll understand.
Then, Domaine Wachau's Grunewaldinger.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you have just a drizzle of balsamic glaze with that?
Because that would throw off the Grunewaldinger.
I'm not sure about that.
It would.
I'm not sure.
I don't need the sweetness. The sweetness comes from the tomato. I want to taste everything. Because balsamic can be overpowering. I want to taste all those other elements. That's why I said that specifically.
Here's one thing I like to do a little different with the basil. I like to
pronounce it incorrectly. Basil.
I like to roll it like almost in a cigar, and then slice it with scissors.
Yeah, you
do
that.
So you get these thin little pieces.
Yeah, but I want
because the bigger pieces of basil. They're basil. That's why you slice it thin and you call it basil. Mm. Rathbone.
Mm-hmm. You're on the dessert.
Dessert. For dessert, I'm doubling up. I'm going with Scally's meatball.
No, that's not dessert, you twit. It has to actually be a sweet thing.
Listen, this is my dessert.
No, just talk about dessert, dummy.
You do your own dessert.
No, that's not a dessert. A meatball's not a dessert.
I'm having Scally's meatball.
Oh, God, dumbass.
His bread. We're talking bites.
It's not a dessert, Scott.
With a Barolo.
Oh, my God.
And the dessert is a grappa.
No.
That's how you do it.
A dessert dish, food. For dessert. Meatball is not dessert.
Let me ask you a question, sir.
Oh, God.
Have you ever had an appetizer for dessert? Have you ever had dessert for your appetizer? Have you ever started out with dessert? You go out, you're going out for dinner, and you're like, let's start with dessert.
No, I'm not mentally handicapped.
Why not?
Like you are.
Why not?
Because it's dumb. Anyway, so a real dessert.
I dated a girl that showed me that, and you know what? Sometimes it's fun.
Did she show you her dick later?
You're so wrong.
It's happened to me. His name was Raul.
I thought it was her.
No. Well, I'm really stupid, so.
You are.
I was like, well, you're a very pretty lady. And he kept getting annoyed when I'd say that. And I didn't quite understand. Then I realized, well, he's wearing pants and, you know, he has a leather jacket on. His name is not Duke, but he was a burly man, but he probably didn't want to be called a lady, but I found out that he, in fact, was not a lady. No, or a gentleman, for that matter.
Well, you deserve nothing less.
I didn't deserve that.
It's a good thing, because there's not much less.
There isn't much less than that. Now, Raul is a brutal man, very violent, not very caring about other people's needs, if you get my drift.
There seems to be a theme to your stories on this episode.
What's the stories? I don't understand. What do you mean? What's the theme?
The theme to your being brutalized by people?
I was, yes. Well, I was roughed up. I don't like the term brutalized. Roughed up, touched up is a term, yes.
Roughed up, touched up.
Roughed up, touched up, yes. Nothing more than that.
What, are you a hip-hop lyricist?
I could be.
Could you be?
I tried to rap, but I was blowing that whistle too much when Duke was kicking my ass.
With the bicycle chains.
By the way, folks, Duke's mayonnaise is a fine, fine spreadable product. You can put it on sandwiches or in with your with cold meats. What else do they write? Don't put your dick in the jar. Oh, no, that's for me. I'm sorry. Don't do that. No, it's really good though. If you kind of where's Duke at?
Well, so what's your traditional dessert that you're so inclined to?
Well, I mean, what about the lemon cake at Scally's with the berry sauce? That's actually dessert,
That's freaking fin. Well, you know what's dessert at Scally's? The berry sauce.
But
what are you
going to
pair with it?
You pair of 100 different things.
Well, go ahead.
One thing I would do, maybe a botrycized Semillon. It's a lot of sweetness, but it works.
Botrycized Semillon sounds a little bit elaborate.
Elderton's. Well, you just said you were going to drink a Barolo for dessert, you twit.
No, I'm just pairing a food bite.
Mm-hmm. You could drink Dolce, perhaps, if you were so inclined. Yeah. I'm not, but you could.
Dolce's fine.
Dolce's fine, although I'd rather have Elderton's botrycized Semillon for one quarter of the money. You could do a ferment. Tokai. Late harvest ferment.
What was the lemon dessert thing that Frank comped us two Christmases ago?
I think it was that.
The Dolce?
Oh, no.
What was it?
It was a limoncello.
Was it?
Limoncello is a nice way to end your meal as well, by the way. But I like a good limoncello. It's nice. It'll make you forget everything.
The truth is, I
truth is, he would like to be a lady.
A yes. Fudge cake with just red wine.
Same thing. Red wine. What about port?
Chocolate fudge cake. Port? I love port, but not with dessert. I like port to be dessert.
Well, you could.
I like my dessert.
You know, it works well with like chocolate cake.
Port.
A ruby port.
It's not my thing. I'd rather have
things that are caramelized taste good with a tawny.
I'd rather have coffee.
Okay, that's fine.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just would.
You could say that. I'd rather have an alcohol drink.
But I can't have meatball for dessert.
No, because it's not dessert.
I want fucking meatball for dessert. I'm going to have meatball
Why
for fucking
dessert. Why
didn't
you have a meatball for your main course? You're having corned beef and fucking around with...
These are just bites. We're just talking
disgusting.
Bites.
I hate corned beef.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because it's terrible.
You're terrible.
It's awful.
You've never had it prepared properly then, sir, if you say it's awful.
There's no proper way to prepare. You know how you prepare it properly? Put it in the trash can. That's how you prepare it.
You're going to say you make it into a brisket.
Or yes, you don't corn it.
I love corned beef.
I know you do. It makes you weird.
But you know you can take corned beef and still treat it like a brisket?
You could, but it still will taste like ass.
You taste like ass.
Yeah, actually, depending on the part of his body, yes, it does taste like ass. You know, other parts taste like chicken. So, you know.
Chicken?
Yes. Human flesh tastes like chicken, Scott. In case you didn't know.
I thought it tastes like alligator.
You said you experimented with different people that you've killed, so I assumed
experimented
meant eat, but now I know that you meant something different. And I have a club for that. There's a club. I started it. I'm in that. It's necrophilia.
I'll bet you're in it.
I am. I'm a member and the president.
You're a member. Yes. All right.
We tried to have a march in a local town, yes. And
a local town?
Yeah, they didn't give us a permit. I think it's discrimination, I said. They said, you're not a protected class. And I went, well, I should be. There's not many of us out there. So, you know, we could be put down by the majority.
One is the loneliest number.
It is. You know what else is the loneliest number? Whatever amount is locked in my closet at my house, that's the loneliest number. Because no one's coming to save you.
What if there's more than one?
Did I say that out loud? That's what I said.
You did.
Could be two. Could be three.
But then they're not lonely.
Trust me, they're lonely. They're lonely. Oh. That's right. You got to isolate them so they feel the despair. That really turns me... I'm talking too much. I realize that. So I'm
what
gonna,
your attorney said.
That's, how did you get convicted, Wilfer? Well, you went on a podcast and you fucking talked about killing everybody and all this other stuff. And, you know, they kind of made it easy for you. I was like, well, I just like to talk. I'm a people person. Yeah. Wilfer, you're probably not, but that's okay.
Well, define people person.
Not one that kills people. It's probably the first part. You know, John Wayne Gacy, he was a clown, but not a very friendly clown, it turns out. No.
No.
No. And Jeffrey Dahmer, no. No.
Wilfred.
He was very charming, though, I hear.
Charming.
Yes.
Charming.
Yes. Could be. Not to the people that he knew the best, though, I would say.
Or the most recent.
Yes. He's dead, though.
Yeah, well.
It's exciting for him. Yeah,
to be dead?
Exciting for me that he's dead. Yes.
Leaves a void for you.
I felt it.
What is wrong with you, really?
Many things.
How did this all start? Have you seen your
I'm going to jump in. Don't ask Wilfred how it all started, because it'll be like 45 minutes later. And you'll be like, what the hell? And,
oh. Just trying to give you new material.
Oh, trust me, there's plenty that's there. I'm just going to step in and stop it. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. Oh, by the way, Scott, you had asked me when it all began. Well, I thought about it. It all started in 1872, I'm stuck.
But you're a shapeshifter, too.
No, I'm old. There's a difference.
That's not old. That's dead. That's older than Methuselah.
Not if you're a vampire, which I turned out to be.
Jesus. Well, then you're a young vampire.
Or was that 1972? I can't remember. I'm also quite dumb. I don't know. Anyway, folks, the Bodegas Breca Grenache. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine?
First of all, I recommend it highly. Rob mentioned earlier, it's probably not for everyone, but if you've been along on the show and you've tried the different white wines we've pointed you to and you've had Grenache and you haven't liked it before, give this one a go.
Grenache is a red wine.
If you haven't tried Grenache, give this one a try. If you like it, if you don't, that's not the point. I think it's such a good portrayal of Rob's doing the egret routine. Grenache is one you have to grow into, and I think this is one that could be a good starting point. Or if you tried Grenache before and it wasn't your thing and you want to give it a go again, give this one a shot. Previous varietal, what I remember just in general, it was a bigger wine than this, but I'll tell you what. The complexity of this wine for the price point is off the charts. There's so much going on here. You've got tar tobacco in the mid palate. You've got pencil lead, cayenne pepper towards the finish, softer oaking. It's not soft in texture, the oaking. It's just a more general approach to oaking, gentle. Multiple layers of fruit.
True.
Different things going on. Some more in your face, some subtle. We talked about the soft expression of strawberry. Just a dandy. Is this something that's ageable? Is this something that's, going to go for years? Probably not. But that's okay. Again, remember the price point. I'm at 91 my points. I really, really like that. Now, it's kind of in my personal wheelhouse. I love a softer Grenache. Does it deserve that many points? I don't give a shit. That's where I'm at. I think it's just got merits alone to be in the low 90s just because of the complexity. Even if it's not... It's unusual in that it's got these characteristics of oaking, yet it's almost like oak-free. It's like there's not a lot of oak there, but like that cayenne is like next level oaking, but yet it's like it's just the traditional oaking that I would like to accompany Grenache isn't quite there. Now, maybe many people would like that.
I will give this wine
And I drank it a little bit, and I'm thinking about it. The complexity really warrants a better score because it does have a lot of elements to it.
It really does.
I mean, you got to take, yes, this is, but I think, I've said it, not everyone will like this wine. I'm not even sure that it's one that really speaks to me. I think I preferred the 15 vintage a little bit, way more than this wine, because we give that 92s and 93s. But the flavor profile isn't necessarily one that I reach for, right? The prune, kind of the front palate just kind of is a little bit too overripe in a kind of a lean, I don't know. It's just not my thing, really. But the wine still has merit, and it still is well done. The 19 vintage, I'm going to buy. Why? Because it's got even better reviews, and I think this is an off vintage for Brica. I really do. But I'm still going to give a 90 of my points based on the quality of the wine. Whether or not it necessarily speaks to me is irrelevant. Yeah. It really is. The wine is well made from good grape stock. I think this is one of their lesser years, and it's still a 90 from me. It's still a 91 from Scott, and that's cool too. It speaks to Scott more. It sings to Scott more than it does me. There's many things I enjoy better, but yeah.
It's just a point difference between our scores.
This is a really good wine.
You know what this reminds me of? Mm. It's a more complex version of, you remember the Siduri?
Siduri.
Like
it's a Pinot Noir.
Yeah, but how that was soft and subtle, and this reminds me of the complexity of that. And
from Oregon?
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why.
We never did it on the show.
Yeah, we did.
No, we didn't. You're thinking about something different.
And then I've had the Siduri.
I've had the Siduri too.
I think we did it one night.
Down on the show.
Okay.
This doesn't remind me at all of Siduri. What are you talking about? Are you drunk?
No.
You're drunk?
No, not yet.
You might be. Are you high? I didn't do drug test you tonight. You need to pee in a cup. Siduri.
Just take a hair sample.
From Willamette Valley.
Yes.
By the way, I've heard people pronounce Willamette completely differently than that. It sounds like they're like crapping out of their mouth. Is that the incorrect way of pronouncing Willamette?
Like. There's different emphasis
on
it.
I don't know. Like Willamette or something. I don't know what it is. I always pronounce it Willamette. I don't know. That's the American way. Maybe it's a Native American term, naturally. So perhaps there's some sort of Native American way they pronounce it. I don't know. I've heard people like, I'm like, what the fuck is that, man? I don't even know. I don't know if they were as astute as we are or the highest level. They thought they might have been, but they probably have less listeners than we do. You know, but I've heard it pronounced sorts of bizarre ways. And I mean, I don't know.
I think it's Willamette Valley.
How else could it be? They call it like, I don't even know what it was. It was just like, it sounded like they started to speak and then they shat in their mouth and then they tried to talk around the poop. They had a big old turd right in there, right on their tongue. But they needed to finish the sentence before they spat whatever was in their mouth out. I've had that problem too. I've been told not to read this story by Tuke's Mayonnaise. Damn it! They give you $50 one time, folks. They leave it on your nightstand, and then they think they own you. I don't know. They're very possessive. Typical man, I guess. Is that Duke? I'm not here.
Do you see? Is there?
I've heard it pronounced
Willamette.
Willamette?
Willamette.
Willamette. But I didn't hear it pronounced that way, but Willamette. Well, so different emphasis, yeah.
There's a very old article.
Uh-huh. Willamette.
By Tim Elliott. It's one of the dangers of being a wine podcaster is you have to say wine terms and regions out loud. Yeah, we know about that, and we get it wrong sometimes. It's hard enough to keep everything spelled correctly, and often over the years, I've made some embarrassing mistakes on the podcast.
It's not that embarrassing. I don't care.
But the one that's probably most distressing for me is my butchering of Oregon's Willamette Valley. I don't care. I'm going Willamette.
Willamette sounds better. Yeah. So on this show, it's Willamette, even if it's Willamette. But that's not the way they pronounced it when I heard it.
I think it's an indigenous people's name.
Well, I don't know.
E-T-T-E is the ending. That's French.
I don't know. It sounds like this person was having an orgasm in their mouth, whatever the hell they were saying. Waka waka waka.
So this person says, so for the record, the correct pronunciation of Willamette, as it relates to the Oregon wine region, is Willamette.
Willamette.
As in Willamette, damn it.
Willamette, damn it. Okay, Willamette.
It's Willamette, damn it.
Or Willamette.
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 Our pronunciation isn't that far off then. Anyway.
We've never said that.
No, but we can now. That's fine.
If you want to.
I don't. What's Willamette?
Willamette.
Well, in what we're saying, is that there? It's just not as pronounced. So we didn't say like Will met it or something like that. Mm. You know, hey. If you want really accurate wine depictions, listen to Wine Wars. You know, because they mix Star Wars with wine. All two episodes. Why do they like bother? They did like three episodes, maybe four.
I don't know.
You know, I remember back when we started. That was several years ago. What, 8-9 years ago? And I said, "Oh, Wine Wars. I'm going to listen to our competition." And then I realized I don't want to listen to our competition because they didn't even talk about wine. They talked about one of their spouses trying to put a light bulb in. It was like two wives, two husbands. You know, and we had my wife on here and we got rid of her. We fired her.
Oh, she fired us.
Oh, no, she was like dead weight. We got rid of her. So, you know, that's how we roll. That's how we roll.
You're so wrong.
That's right. That's right. So, folks, a 91. Hall of Fame, once again.
Yeah.
Recommended breakup. Well, recommended if you are astute.
I just think if you haven't found your Grenache yet, give this one a shot. If you haven't tried Grenache before, try this one. I do agree with the wine guy. It's not going to be for everybody because it's Grenache.
If you want a baby Grenache, one that is appealing to everybody and you can find it, Turley makes a Pacenti Vineyard Grenache that is very approachable for everybody.
It really is made in an approachable format.
You know what's very approachable? The boy. I know. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu, but we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.